Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
I don't think she's going to like this music.
Too bad. She can't do anything about it.
Don't you get tough with Kelly. We are joined by Kelly at Kelly in Vegas on Twitter. Kelly, I'm sorry. I don't think you like that music, do you?
I think that music's okay.
All right, well, as long as you don't hate
it. I'm not too picky. I'm not a big music fan anyway.
Well, you can, it interferes with the numbers.
Exactly.
Now, okay, you were there. Tell us what your experience was when you went to see Notre Dame beat Wichita State and you stayed for that Kentucky-West Virginia game. Was it as ugly in person as on TV?
I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. I haven't seen a team put on a clinic like that in a really long time. So it was almost like there was part of the time where, you know, you see it on TV and you don't quite get the full experience. I mean, some of these guys were just clowning around at a point in time. It was so funny. They just didn't care. Of course, I had the first half over, so they decided not to clown around in the last 4 minutes, and nobody scored any points. I ended up getting a point short of what I needed, of course, because West Virginia couldn't score. But other than that, it was a really fun experience. Well, I really liked the queue, and downtown Cleveland was a fun area.
Now, did you have West Virginia in 40?
No, I did not. I had Kentucky minus 13.
Oh, well, gee, that one didn't do so bad for you.
It did not. It was actually one of probably the easier bets I've made all year.
Now, for the Final Four, both in the national semifinals, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, both Kentucky and Duke are five-point favorites. Is that right?
Yes, right now they both are, which is crazy about Kentucky. They opened at 6.5. I was at our buddies at the Golden Nugget on Saturday, and I told a Wisconsin fan they were going to be 7-point dogs, and the guy scoffed at me, and then they opened at 6.5 and have been bet all the way down to 5, which is just incredible to me.
What was that? What does that mean? A lot of money on Kentucky?
No, that means a lot of money on Wisconsin. Yeah. Like everybody I talk to is like, how can you not bet Wisconsin? Well, you guys are the reason why I probably won't.
Well, I mean, how do you see that game actually play? I think Wisconsin does have a chance, and I think Notre Dame, they had no answer for Carl Anthony Towns. If they did, they would have won the game.
No, I was watching the game, and I was so elated that I had the plus 11 because they kept it close. But I thought Notre Dame was kind of, I guess you want to say, for lack of better words, they gave it their all, and I still didn't feel like that Kentucky team did. I watched them, you know, like I said, blow out West Virginia, and it was like, this is okay. Like, they shot horribly. I think they're going to surprise you against Wisconsin. That's one of those teams at any given point in time, they could probably blow somebody out. I was actually just looking at some of their final scores from early on in the year, and I forgot they beat KU by 32. I'm not that KU's not having a down year. You know, they beat UCLA by almost 40.
So you're thinking it was a blowout hangover.
I really think it was. I think it was kind of a hangover, and I think Notre Dame was by far one of the best teams offensively they faced all year. Not that Wisconsin's not a great offensive team. I'm not denying that. I just kind of wonder if, I don't know. I don't know if Wisconsin's got it on the defensive side enough to stop Kentucky. And like I said, they were just having an off day. I mean, they were missing shots that very happy they were missing. But in comparison to how I had seen them play prior, it was a very weird game. It was very surreal. I was sitting with a bunch of Notre Dame fans, and obviously they were happy. And my buddy Marcus kept saying, yeah, but this is Kentucky, this is Kentucky, this is Kentucky. And I was laughing because he's right. Kentucky finds ways to win, and they did.
Well, it sounds like, talking to Kelly at Kelly in Vegas, that you're going to be all over Kentucky.
Early on, that is my lean. I did make Kentucky a 7.5-point favorite in the game. I did, looking at my numbers. But the way that the big money's coming down, I could see it landing on 5 or 6. If it dips down below 4.5, 4, I'm going to be all over Kentucky.
Well, why wouldn't you anyway? I mean, where are the sharps landing so far? They don't really, have they weighed in yet?
Well, I've seen some sharp guys bet Wisconsin early. They bet it at 6.5 and 6. Now that it's down to 5, everybody else is jumping on the bandwagon. like I said, 6 points might have been a little too much for a Final Four game, but if it gets any lower, I think we're going to see money start coming in on Kentucky from the other sharp guys.
Now, Kelly, let me ask you a question before we talk about the other side of the bracket. You're still very young, but do you or any of these sharps or the friends of yours, how's the blood pressure? Because it must be nerve-wracking when you do this every day.
You know what's so funny is that I get a lot of grief for actually going to the games and still watching the games. A lot of these guys don't watch the games. They put in their wagers, they check their scores, they collect their money or pay their money, and they go on about their next day. I mean, for me, my blood pressure is, that's part of why I like this. I love college basketball. I love college football, NFL. That the money side just adds to the excitement of the game for me. So I think those guys probably blood pressure is pretty good. Me, on the other hand, I may or may not have a heart attack in the next 5 years.
But you have fun doing it.
Exactly. I love doing it. You know, that's, like I said, a lot of what it is for me is the excitement. Yesterday I was on Louisville, and, you know, I saw the writing on the wall going in overtime. But, you know, at a point they were down 6 or 7 with 2 or 3 minutes left. They came roaring back and made it an exciting game. Those are the things that people love about college basketball.
Now, where are you on? Are you leaning Duke or are you leaning Michigan State with the 5?
You know, I have bet against Michigan State for the last 3 weeks.
And how have you done against
them?
Okay, never mind.
I have regretted it every time. Like I said, yesterday I was on Louisville, and the moment he went, you know, he made his first free throw, I knew he was going to miss the second. I was just praying that, you know, somehow, with I think it was 6 seconds left or something, that Michigan State got the ball down court and just made an easy layup. So it landed on one. I won, you know, my bet, and I would have been so happy. I didn't care if Louisville won the game or not. It was nerve-wracking going into overtime. I mean, like I said, to have a dog going into overtime, I think somebody tweeted me yesterday he would rather have hemorrhoids than have a dog going into overtime.
It's one way to look at it. Hey, Kelly, the time just flies. Thank you. I'm going to, if you have the time later in the week, love to talk to you heading into the weekend. It's a huge weekend.
Absolutely.
You got Final Four. You got the Masters. I know you don't do you bet Masters?
You know, I don't handicap golf myself. I have a lot of really smart friends that do. So if I get any fun golf bets, we can definitely talk about them.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you later in the week. Kelly, at Kelly in Vegas on Twitter. Check her out. Kelly, thanks so much.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a quick break and come back with former Vikings quarterback, Super Bowl-winning quarterback with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now has a bracket challenge named after him, the Brad Johnson Bracket Challenge. A lot of former teammates are in it. I'm in it. Superstar's in it. Ben's in it. And we'll talk to him. I think last time I looked, Brad Johnson was doing pretty damn good in his own little deal there. We'll talk to him, Brad Johnson, when we return.
Sports Radio. 105 The Ticket.
My two youngest kids.
Third down, goal for the three. Johnson, quick throw. No, I thought he threw. He still got it. Johnson at the five. He's going to go in. Touchdown!
Had the presence of mind to catch the ball, and he was able to use that speed. Outrun a couple defensive linemen into the end zone.
Never gets too tired listening about Brad Johnson scoring a touchdown. Brad, how are you?
Doing great, Bob. How you doing?
Not too bad. Now, I just took a look at the standings in the Brad Johnson NFL Alumni March Madness Bracket Challenge. You're sitting pretty good. You're tied for fifth out of is it almost 100 people in it. Let me get the exact number. 99 people in it. That's not too shabby.
99. That is great, but my only problem, Bob, is there's two guys in front of me.
Yeah.
The great Leroy Hoard, touchdown maker, and the great Chuck Foreman. They're ahead of me. We got the same picks. You know, we all pick Kentucky to win it.
Well, you know what? Here's your other problem, Brad. I could win this because I don't know how I got into it, but I believe in the celebrity portion. I'm the only one that picked Duke, and if Duke wins, I think I could win the that portion of it.
And well, you're the outlier, so I know who you're pulling for.
You're darn so tootin'.
Hey, the greatest thing, there's two great things about this whole deal.
Good.
One is Randall McDaniel. He finished last year.
Yeah.
Last. And he was the first one to dial in his NCAA AA bracket this year. He was first after week one, but now he's like 36th place.
He's
so
fell.
A huge improvement. But the guy we expected, Todd, I will block you till tomorrow, Stussy. Right now he's in 97th place. How do you explain that?
Oh, that's not good.
How do you explain that one, Bob?
You can't explain it, Brad. He only got 33 right. Even I did a lot better than any. Had Louisville, who he's actually, he could wind up falling into last place.
He thought that's a sketch. So this is, I don't know. It's fun. It's been a great bracket, though. It's been awesome. It's been really kind of cool that we've kind of reunited with a lot of players, former players, sports writers, and everyone. There's been a lot of trash talking in between, and the website's grown from last year, and the bracket's got a lot bigger this year, but, you know, it's obviously on bikefans.com.
Yep.
And Tom Moore, he does a great
job
with it, just reuniting a lot of former players, the interviews that they have, the stories that they tell. And I just would encourage everybody to go on bikefans.com and just kind of reunite with a lot of players. And they do a great job of keeping all the players now that are taking place with the Minnesota Vikings. So it's pretty awesome.
Well, it is, and it's a neat website. And Tom does do a really good job, as you mentioned. The thing I got to ask you, Brad, is offensive linemen get this reputation for being so bright. Susie and Randall are kind of hurting that a little bit. And they're both pretty bright guys, generally speaking.
Well, Jeff Christie made all the calls, so Randall could hear the call, but then Stussy was on his own out there on the island. So.
That's good.
But they're great guys. And they say, as you know, it's all just pick-ems. Games.
Absolutely.
I still can't get over the Stephen F. Austin game when the ball was on the rim like that with Utah. So who knows?
Now, obviously you pick Kentucky. You feel any different after seeing how the Final Four shakes out? You think Wisconsin has a shot, or are you still confident it'll be Kentucky?
That's a shakeup. I mean, it's kind of neat for me, Bob. In sixth grade, I played against this kid named Sean Miller. And then when I was at Florida State, we played against Pittsburgh, and Sean Miller was the point guard. So I was kind of pulling for Arizona. I did have Wisconsin in my pick, but that's going to be a great matchup. Kentucky, somehow they squeaked it by the other day, but winning 38 in a row, there's not a whole lot of luck to that. They're a tough team, so it'll be fun to watch. And I did pick Duke, but unfortunately I picked Virginia in that other bracket, which Michigan State made it. So who knows how things are going to shake down.
Now, Brad, I know you played basketball in high school, right? And you didn't play any. You didn't have time. You could not play it in college, or did you play a little bit?
I did. I played 2 years at Florida State. We made
that's
the
what I thought.
Twice. I started my freshman year. We got beat. My freshman year, we got beat by Iowa out of UCLA in the first round. They had B.J. Armstrong and Marble, and that's just a really good team. I think we got beat 95-90. And then the next year, we had a really good team. We were ranked seventh in the country, and we had George McCloud as our point guard, and we played Middle Tennessee State, and I think we were the number four seed. And you talk about March Madness, it happened to us. We were the I think we had a 12 or 13-point lead with 13 minutes to go in the game, and then we got blown out by Middle Tennessee State at the end of the game. They had a guy named Mike Buck, who averaged like 1 point a game, and he scored 27 points.
Oh, man.
And we went boxing one on this white guy. So it was crazy. But that is definitely March Madness, and I was fortunate enough to at least experience it twice.
We're talking to Brad Johnson, former Vikings quarterback, Super Bowl-winning quarterback, about, he's got his own, the Brad Johnson NFL Alumni March Madness Bracket Challenge, and talk to him about having played. So you started as a freshman. Did you start your sophomore year, too?
No, not my freshman year. I actually got to leave football a little bit earlier, kind of like in late October, November, when the season started, when it began, and kind of got in the lineup. I think I started like 13 games. In my sophomore year, I had to stay with the football team all the way through December. So I kind of came out late. We had to transfer Irv Thomas, who came in, who ended up playing for the Lakers. So I came off the bench a little bit my sophomore year, didn't play quite as much as my freshman year, but played some great teams, and it was just it's pretty awesome to be a part of. You realize how good college basketball players, not alone professional players.
Well, Brad, were you a redshirt freshman in football? Is that why you were able to come out early?
Yeah, I got redshirted, so I kind of got to lead the team early that year, and it just worked out that way. The biggest part playing two sports is, they overlap. They overlap in the fall, but then in the spring, because they're going to the NCAA tournament, I would miss half of spring football. I missed 10 of the 20 days, so I was kind of falling behind in both, and that's kind of a big reason why I had to choose one sport.
Was football a full scholarship, or did the two teams split? How did that work out?
Yeah. Basically, I was on scholarship for football, and then basically you'll walk on for basketball. That's kind of the way it worked. And then Charlie Ward came after me, and then he ended up winning the Heisman at Florida State, played basketball. He had some great teams too, with Bob Sura, Doug Edwards, Sam Cassell, and I think they got to the Elite Eight. And then, kind of opposite for Charlie. He chose to play professional basketball. I think played 11 years in the NBA.
Well, Brett, was it because this doesn't happen that often? Now it happens even less. But even then, was Florida State more open to it than other colleges and universities to let guys play both football and basketball? A lot of places they wouldn't even hear it.
And I wanted to play basketball for Bobby Crimmins, but Bobby Coach Walsh had me in his office, and he started going through the playbook and started spitting out all the names and numbers of plays. He's like, "I don't think you can do this, son." And I knew I wasn't going to happen there. But when I went to Florida State, Bobby Bowden, he encouraged it not only to me but to all of us. If a guy was a football track kid, if a football thing about Deion Sanders, he did football, baseball, yeah, and track. And the list of athletes went on at Florida State, and they actually encouraged guys, if they were good enough to do that, they could handle the academic load to go ahead and do that. So it was kind of cool to be a part of, to be able to do something like that, especially let someone like Bobby Bowden do that for you, too.
Who was the basketball coach for you? Who was your coach then?
We had Pat Kennedy. And so we had some great teams there, not only my 2 years, but then, again, with Charlie Ward, Doug Edwards, and Sam Cassell after us.
Now, did you know when you started, when you said you were a walk-on early on, again, talking to Brad Johnson about this, did you know it wasn't going to last for your entire college career, and you figured you'd go as long as you did? Because as football, as you became more of a player in football, it couldn't last.
It was tough for me because I was actually competing in both sports. I was going against Casey Weldon in football and in basketball. We just had some great players, and I was behind them. And with Charlie Ward, he was a legit starter, and he was a legit starter in basketball. So he was able to miss some of that spring football practice also. So it was a little bit tougher with me, but I knew if I was ever going to make it for me in football, I was going to have to choose one sport. And it just kind of worked out, especially my first year. With the red shirt year, I could leave football early, so I kind of got in shape and kind of helped me out a little bit better.
Now, are you still playing any kind of pickup basketball, or have you put down the football, basketball, all sporting, except for maybe a golf club?
I am a commissioner here. We've had a group of guys for the last 4 years. We play, it's called 6 a.m. Early Risers. So on 2 days a week, on Tuesday and Thursday at 6 a.m., we are in the gym. We've got jerseys made up for everybody. They all got nicknames. And the commissioner gave it to him, so I'm the commissioner. And then we pull it with the school boards up, and we have about 14 to 18 guys that show up every Tuesday, Thursday. We kind of form these different games, and so I kind of do it that. But it's a slow pace, Bob, very slow.
Well, Brett, are you nuts? You could have slept in a little bit. Why didn't you have them show up at 8 o'clock instead of 6? I guess the other guys all have jobs they have to get to.
They all have jobs, so we got to be done by 7:15 every day.
Now, what are you doing? I mean, how many kids do you have now, Brad?
I have two boys.
And what are their ages?
They're Max and Jake. They're both in 6th and 7th grade.
So you're following them.
I coach all their teams. I coach the middle school football team, middle school basketball team, and just stay active with my kids and a bunch of other kids. This past year, I had 54 kids in the football program and 53 in the basketball. I had 5 basketball teams I coached during the week, and then we kind of let Paul and 3 of those teams off on game day, but I practiced them all, though.
Wow. Talking to Brad Johnson, former Viking quarterback, Super Bowl-winning quarterback with Tampa Bay. Now, both your kids quarterbacks, or what positions do they play in football?
My oldest son, Max Johnson, he's a quarterback, and he loves it, and that's what he plays, so it's kind of worked out well for us. My other son, Jake, he's a tight end, and he loves basketball, and he's kind of in all that kind of stuff. But they love playing all kinds of sports and kind of fun to watch.
Are they on the same team, or they're only one grade apart?
They have been. Then this past year, my son Max, he was on the middle school team, and Jake had to be on the youth team, the 6th grade team. Then this next year, they'll both be on the middle school team together.
Well, that'll be neat. So basically, from middle school, you're looking at, you're looking at 6 years of watching them play together as teammates. Pretty much,
it's
right?
Kind of cool, yeah. It's fun. It's fun.
Wow, that's good.
And especially be able to coach a kid right now, so I'm very fortunate, grateful that the school lets me do that.
Now, both of them going to have dad's height.
You know what? I think Jake, my youngest son, I think he's about a 6'7", 6'8" kind of kid.
And seriously?
My Max, I think he's about a 6'3", 6'4" kid. So who knows? They still got a lot of Wheaties to eat, but I think that's kind of where their bodies are shaping out.
Well, Brad, you were 6'4", right? That's what you are?
I'm 6'5".
6'5", yeah, okay. Is your wife very tall? 6'7", 6'8", that's some height.
He's a tall kid.
Oh my gosh!
But my wife Nikki, she played volleyball in college, and she's a tall girl.
Oh, Brad, you married well when it comes to having athletic children. Because it comes from both sides of the family.
Hopefully they don't get my speed, Bob.
Well, your wife had to be pretty quick if she played volleyball, right?
Deceivingly.
That's pretty good. Talking to Brad Johnson, former Vikings quarterback, Super Bowl winning quarterback. Now, Brad, have you been following everything that's going on up here with AP and everything else? You know, with the Vikings?
A little bit. I don't know all the day-to-day stuff, so I really don't know exactly what's taking place. And I just know, hopefully they can work it out. I really don't know what's going on there. I know North Turner, he's a great offense coordinator, and hopefully that would set itself up. But there's so much going on there besides football, so I really wouldn't know all the ins and outs of that.
You played for North, right?
I did. I played
in Washington?
For 2 years in Washington. Sure did.
Yeah, he's, I mean, obviously the guy, there's nobody in football that knows more about running an offense than he does.
He's had awesome running backs, too. I mean, he had Emmitt Smith, LaDainian Tomlinson, Ricky Williams. The list goes on with him, and he just has a way of matching up. You know, great runners, getting everyone the ball, and then, you know, putting a great play-action play, game plan with it. And obviously, Teddy had a really good year last year, and he'll grow from last year. And considering everything that took place last year, from playing a rookie quarterback to losing Adrian Peterson to just dealing with a new system, new coaches, you know, they had a good season, considering everything that took place.
Now, Brad, let me ask you this one question before you go. When people say, oh, you played in the, you know, when they know, if they don't know who you are, you played in the NFL, what was your team? I know you have a number to mention, but where do the Vikings come in? Do they come in as the first one you mentioned, or are they second to Tampa after winning the Super Bowl with them? With the Bucs.
Well, you know, obviously for me, I mean, obviously winning a Super Bowl, that's kind of where you'll be kind of remembered more as far as that. And I was unbelievable teammates there. And I spent 4 years there, but I think about my 9 years that I had at Minnesota. I was there, you know, obviously I was there for 7 years and I got drafted in the ninth round, then came back for two more later. But just the friendships and bonding. What was pretty cool for me, Bob, was a couple years ago when Warren Sapp made the Hall of Fame, Chris Carter made the Hall of Fame the same year. And so after, when the Hall of Fame speeches are over, they had they had these big tents and they separate. And I was fortunate enough to, you can't just go from tent to tent. You have to have, you know, your passes to get in there. And to go in there to celebrate with all those, former players that we played with at Chris Carter's Hall of Fame was unbelievable. And then, you know, right around the corner, I was with Warren Sapp and all the Tampa Bay Bucks. So
that's pretty good.
I consider them both home, for me. And just grateful for all the coaches and players that I was able to play with.
Well, that's neat. And Brad, you know what? I want Duke to win, but if Kentucky's going to win, I'm sorry you're not going to beat Chuck Foreman or Leroy Horde.
Well, I can't win, so now I'm pumping you, Bob.
Well, Brad, thanks so much. The Brad Johnson NFL Alumni March Madness Bracket Challenge. Brad, great talking to you. We'll stay in touch.
Bob.
All right, take care. All right, bye. Brad Johnson. Former Vikings quarterback, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Super Bowl winning quarterback. Always great talking to him. That was, I knew he had played basketball, and I didn't realize that he had played 2 years with Florida State. Great guy. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a few D-bag of the day candidates for you. And you know what? Remember we brought up Michael Sam last week? Mm-hmm. We got a definitive answer to that because there's a player in the NFL who weighed in on Michael Sam and that comment he made that I questioned. We'll talk about him. We got plenty of Falcons, Browns, and a lot of D-bag candidates. We'll be right back.
The show. Only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. D-bag, need a bop bop. D-bag, need a bop bop. D-bag, need a bop bop. D-bag, douchebag.
People try to put us to down.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Hey, after we talked to Brad Johnson, former Vikings quarterback, Super Bowl winning quarterback, has the Brad Johnson NFL Alumni Bracket Challenge. He sent to me a little more information about his high school career in North Carolina, where they can play a little basketball. 3A State Player of the Year in high school, scored 2,392 points. That's not too shabby.
It's a little bit more than I've scored today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that would have made over the 4 years he averaged over 20 points a game, or right in that range. So, anyway, we have a few candidates for D-Bag of the Day, and I mentioned we'll go right to Michael Sam. TMZ spoke with a NFL player who claims to be, said he's bisexual. He's upset with Michael Sam, saying he's offended by what Sam said about other gay men in the league. And the comment that really gnaws at him is, this was Sam's comment. I respect the players that did reach out to me and had the courage to tell me that they were also gay. And here's this is the kicker to it. but, and this is Sam, but they do not have the same courage as I do to come out before I even played it down in the NFL. The player who told TMZ he's bisexual said, as a bisexual man, I feel like Michael Sam does not speak for all gay men, and he doesn't want to speak. He has his own opinion, but don't say that we don't have the courage to come out. It's totally wrong. Just speak for yourself, no one else. So that gets him on our candidate list for the day. We got a few of them, too. Did you see, I'm sure you did, because you're a young man who pays attention, a lot of Falcons got fined $350,000 and will lose a 2016 fifth-round pick because of piping in crowd noise during plays. Now, the Vikings did that, too. They always were piping in noise, but they were bright enough at the Metrodome to shut it down when they actually came to the line. It was so bad that when between plays, you've been in the Metrodome, right, for a football game?
Mm-hmm.
I would put my hands over my ears. At times, they would give you earplugs. It was horrible. I think some people did suffer damage to their ear. It was just, it was cranked beyond the max. And but this is bad because they're doing it to artificially, well, to impact the other team and it plays. It's not like a 12-man thing where it's the crowd doing it. This was them helping it. So a $350,000 fine, forfeit a fifth-round pick, and Rich McKay, who is the president of the team, he's possibly going to be suspended. He was suspended from the committee, that committee being a big one. It's the competitions committee, and he could still find himself in some trouble, more trouble with the NFL. The other team, now that's another candidate for you, the not quite as bad for the Cleveland Browns, but they also got themselves into some trouble. Do you remember what happened with them?
With the texting?
Yeah, the general manager, Ray Farmer, was texting. They didn't get hit with the loss of a draft pick, but they were fined $250,000 and Farmer suspended four games for texting. Now, fortunately for him, a lot of the work that a GM does is done by the start of the regular season.
Yeah.
And it starts like just before the first game, ends after the fourth game. So it is. It's basically a one-month suspension for him. Or 3 weeks. I mean, they play the first game. By the time they play the fourth game, it's not even a month. But still.
Which, let's be honest, though. It's the Cleveland Browns. I don't think suspending anybody's really going to affect their team.
Well, somebody said
it's going to be bad no matter what.
When you look at the fact that he drafted Johnny Manziel, maybe they want to have him suspended for the draft, too.
Yeah.
Just to keep him away from doing any damage there. But you know, there was no need for it. I mean, him texting down on the field is not going to help or hurt anything. If you're the coach, you just ignore it.
Yeah, what information could he be sending down there that's going to help the Browns win?
None. All it, you know what? It's like a George Steinbrenner move. When he would, you know, he would send emissaries or he'd show up in the clubhouse before and after games to try to light a fire under the team. They just don't know to butt out. It's not their job. If you want to coach the team too, then coach it. But those two, we should actually have a team division. All right, let me break it down like that then. Who is the bigger D-bag? Ray Farmer for the texting, and they got the fine, or, and then the other option being, Rich McKay, president of the Falcons, who were piped in music or loud crowd noise to try to get a competitive advantage.
I'd have to pick the Falcons between those two because they were going for that competitive advantage.
Yeah, there's no competitive advantage from piping in music. It's not really going to do much at all for you.
But Farmer being up in his luxury suite, sending down like, hey, what did you guys have for lunch? Or from up here, it looks like we're losing.
What exactly? You're right. What exactly is, you know, are you going to do? Now, we actually have a police blotter division, too. We got all kinds of divisions. Boxing star Jermaine Taylor, he pled not guilty to assault and making terroristic threats at a Martin Luther King Jr. Day parade back in January. Arrested in Arkansas after he allegedly pulled a gun on a married couple and their three young children, fired two shots in a rage after one of the kids dropped his championship belt. He got so worked up that a kid dropped his belt, he had to shoot some, allegedly, get the shots in the air. Charged with 5 counts of aggravated assault, 1 count of making a terroristic threat, and 1 count of possession of a controlled substance. Boy, he's got everything going there. And he's currently, by the way, in a court-ordered substance abuse program. He asked the court if he could be allowed out of the program once a week to handle personal and professional issues. The judge denied the request. How would that be, by the way? You know, Judge, I know you got me here for life, but I need to get out and take care of some business. Yeah. Can you let me out? Warden, Judge, what do you say?
Got to pay my cable bill.
Yeah, that's not exactly going to happen. Not too often, anyway. So there's that. And then we also have another one for you. There's also, do you ever hear of The Game?
The Game?
That's the guy, that's what he calls himself.
Oh, I think he's a rapper.
He is. And he also recently had a just really angry-looking tattoo of Mike Tyson put on his hand. Now he was throwing some hands, playing in a pro-am game Sunday at Hollywood High School. He got in a heated argument with another player, and according to witnesses, Game threatened to kill a guy, then he punched him in the face and took off. So, not quite police blotter yet, but I know there's no doubt we got to separate this guy from Jermaine Taylor, because he's, with what he's accused of, the fact that this has not been dropped and he went to court, you would think there's something to it, these allegations. Picking on the kid dropped the belt and he shoots the gun in the air and makes terroristic threats, allegedly.
Yeah.
So he's got that all wrapped up to himself. Now this guy, The Game, actually, if there's anything to this, all these people are D-bags. It's just a matter of what degree you want to go with.
You can put him in the future category.
He's a future. Now what about, now Mike, I think I'm going with the TMZ reporting the bisexual NFL player going after Michael Sam. And the comment he made last week, because we presented it, I believe, as D-bag or not a D-bag, that's a quote, really one you need to take a look at.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Falcons just because them piping in the crowd noise.
Now, who do we have over there, by the way? Hello?
Shane.
Shane!
Hey, Bob, this is Shane.
Shane, where the hell you been?
I've been busy. Been busy, Bob. I apologize.
That's good. You're making money, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to weigh in on the Browns and the Falcons thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that could even categorize as D-bag of the day, but how stupid are they?
Oh, it's a category. It's D-bag of the day.
I mean, these people are in a position of power, and they've been in the league. I mean, it's not like they're newbies to the league here. I mean, how do these people not think they're going to get caught for this?
Shane, one's ahead of the competition committee, Rich McKay.
Exactly.
From the Falcons.
I mean, that's not even D-bags. I mean, that's not really, I don't think, I mean, sure, you're getting a competitive advantage for the pumping and the noise thing, but how do you not think you're going to get caught for that? And the text messaging thing, just like, I don't know who said it, but what are they trying to gain by those text messages? And who are they kidding? They know that's illegal, too. I just don't understand how people can be that stupid.
Shane, I love it when you're fired up. Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Will you be okay with Carl Anthony Towns?
Don't even get me started, Bob. No, I won't be.
What?
I mean, it's Jaleel's gone. But
well, that's what I'm saying.
Jaleel is ready now, Bob.
But you would not. Okay, but if he's gone and you have the second or third pick, okay, what if he's not there? Who are you going to want?
No idea, but if we take a guard, I'll be livid.
Even Tyus Jones?
Well, if he goes third overall, there's other issues too. But he's a good player. He's a good player. But
you back off our guy, Tyus.
Hey, he's not a third overall pick. I like him.
No, he's not going to be a third overall pick. He's going to be a hell of a player in the NBA, though.
He's a second or third. I got him as the second or third point guard on the board right now.
Who's your first?
Moutier.
Okay. Shane, you got to call back. We have to take a quick break here.
Talk to you later, Bob.
Right. Thanks. Love talking to you. All right, Shane. Bye. He's our Timberwolves correspondent. I'm going to take a quick break, and when we return, we will talk with Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Be right back with Jim. We are back, and we are joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. And at the moment, he's going by Vegas Jim. Jim, how are you?
I am, I'm poorer than I was 2 days ago.
When did you get in? When did you get to Vegas? Yesterday?
I got in Saturday night.
Now, did you bet either of the games yesterday?
No, I'm just not much of a gambler. I think we might, at the end of the week, we might have a little fun playing some poker or something like that, but now we're doing more of the sightseeing thing right now. We're actually going to see Elton John tonight, which I'm looking forward to.
Where's he at?
He is at the Caesar's Palace.
Does he have a, I mean, is this an extended performances for him, or is he just there for like a week or a short period?
No, he's doing like four performances a week over a period of a few months. I think his I think his run is coming to an end in April, so we feel kind of lucky. We you know, I've seen so many of the great ones in concert. He's one I have not seen yet.
I bet he puts on a hell of a concert, because he, I mean, the one thing, his voice has never weakened, and he's as, sounds as good as he did when he started.
Yeah, and, you know, he's not, I don't sit around listening to Elton John. It's not, and, you know, some of his stuff is a little too poppy for me, but still, I mean, he's one of those guys that if you put his 10 greatest songs, not most popular, but his 10 greatest songs together, it would be right up there with most of the great ones.
Now, who else are you going to see while you're there?
We're kind of debating some others. I know Trampled by Turtles, the great Minnesota band, is in town someplace. We haven't figured out exactly where and when, but on our way in from Minneapolis, somebody was telling us, yeah, Trampled by Turtles is playing Vegas, so we got to figure out where they are. I'd like to see them. I've had a lot of my friends have seen them in Minnesota and really like them, including Russo. And, you know, Penn & Teller are playing here. I think that's kind of like the quintessential, cool, you know, kind of not quite mainstream, a little bit off the strip kind of act. Those guys are, they're really, I love their act. They're hilarious. So, going to see them. And we're kicking around some other ideas. We haven't really planned out the week too much yet.
Now, the two guys with the lion back at it again?
I think since one guy had his face eaten, I think that put
was
a damper on the show.
Was it Roy? What was the other? What were the names? I forget.
Siegfried
and Roy. That's right.
Yeah.
One of them. You're right. It looks a little different since his face got eaten by a white lion.
Yeah, I you know, and it's one of those things, too. I mean, I'm sure they've had a great life. I mean, they had a great gig. Back in the old days of Vegas, before all the other good acts came in, that was like the thing you had to see in Vegas.
Yeah.
But, you know, whether it's zoos or SeaWorld or performing with, you know, these are animals. They eat people when they get the chance. I mean, acting like you have power over animals is about the most, you know, egocentric and stupid thing you can do, I think.
Well, even the smallest animal can give you some kind of a virus and kill you.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's danger there. Now,
yeah, we sound like old guys complaining about the new world, don't we?
You're right. It's a horrible world. Now, next week is huge, but you're not really going to do any betting, but I know you probably kept an eye on what happened over the weekend the Final Four. Any surprises to you that maybe Kentucky having a close game or Michigan State? Nothing really surprised me at the way it came out of this weekend, except for the close game.
You know, I did have Arizona advancing over Wisconsin, and I thought Arizona had a little much too much athletic ability, a little too much offense. But, man, Wisconsin is just – I mean, listen, Bo Ryan's been good for a long time, but he's better now than he's ever been. I mean, because he used to beat you 55-48, and with great defense, with ball movement, with scoring just enough. And now he has adapted to being able to beat you by whatever score he wants. I mean, now his guys score – Kaminsky's a brilliant college player. He doesn't have a lot of depth, and he's moving around that. His teams get great shots. He's a brilliant, brilliant coach. And what he's done this year is, you know, he made it last year, but this to me is even more impressive, doing it back-to-back years and doing it in a slightly different style and a slightly less depth. He's great. He really is. So Wisconsin beating Arizona is a mild surprise for me. I'm a little surprised Notre Dame gave Kentucky the game they did, but I'm not surprised that Kentucky at some point had to win a close one. I mean, that was almost destined to happen. And to me, I mean, that's the toughest thing. When a team is playing for history, when they have all that pressure on them, and they come through in a clutch situation with big shots, with big stops, to me, it almost feels like a hump game for them. You know, they got past the one that probably scared them to death. I wouldn't be surprised to see them win both their Final Four games by 5-12 points.
Well, it's a 5-point spread, and I've mentioned to you Kelly at Kelly in Vegas, and she was at the game when they beat Wichita State, and she thought that, and she could be right, this was like a hangover game for them, that they, you know, after having a big win by 39 points, they really weren't mentally where they needed to be, and now this would certainly refocus a team after playing
a
tight game.
That's the thing. I mean, I think they got the close one out of the way. I think they got the nervous one out of the way. They got, you know, the hangover. I mean, they killed West Virginia. They probably didn't, frankly, deep down have much fear for Notre Dame. And Notre Dame has played great this year. I mean, I think one of the things we've kind of learned through the tournament is that the ACC and Big Ten were much stronger than we thought they were. And Notre Dame, you know, had a great season in the ACC. So that was a tremendous game, And here's the other thing, you know, to go big picture, I think college basketball has been watered down and made almost unwatchable during its regular seasons. You know, you just don't have good players staying very long in college. You know, you don't have the depth of talent you once did. The game is just filled with timeouts and fouls. It's really not a great regular season game. And yet you come to this time of the year and you put the best teams in the, I really think once you get to like the Sweet 16, you see phenomenal basketball on a nightly basis. And part of it is the guys like Izzo and Bo Ryan and Pitino, you know, no matter what the team looks like at the beginning of the year, by the end of, I mean, I've had people tell me that Rick Pitino didn't even like this team. You know, I've had people tell me that Izzo didn't think this is one of his worst teams. And yet, by the end of the year, those guys have figured out a way to win with their guys.
Talking to Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune, suhanunfiltered.com. The two things that surprised me in that Kentucky, because that was the best game of the three, but it was that Notre Dame had no answer or no attempt to answer Karl-Anthony Towns when he was just, I mean, he just crushed them down the stretch. You think they would try to collapse or help out? The other thing is, 6 seconds left, why is your guard bringing the ball up by himself and launching it? Was there no, I haven't seen enough replays. Was everyone else covered? There was nobody to pass to? Because all he did was hurry his shot. And
I haven't looked that deeply into it, so I'm not going to pretend I have an answer for it. But I think the answer to both your questions there, though, is Kentucky's so good. If you collapse on Towns, then you're leaving McDonald's All America wide open for a three or an uncontested two. And the other way around, you know, I mean, Kentucky's defense is so smothering, he might not have had any other options.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, Jim, you know what? The time does fly when we talk, and I thank you again for having me on Friday for suhanunfiltered.com. That was fun.
Yeah, it was a blast. You know, I've known you since 1990, and you told me like 8 things I didn't know about you. And, you know, the ones of the sexual variety are great for a podcast.
You can say anything on a podcast.
So. Yeah, exactly. And you did.
Yeah, and I did, and I, you know, showed a few things, too. But I do appreciate it. I know you're going to have Russo fill in for you this week.
Yeah, you know, we're still figuring out exactly what our schedule is going to be. It's going to be dependent on Russo's schedule. So I have a bunch of interviews I did in spring training that were really good.
Yeah, replay them, because those are great topics.
Well, but actually, there are going to be stuff I haven't played yet. There's stuff I actually saved for this week. So this week, and I'll tweet it out when we have the exact schedule, it's going to be some combination of Russo filling in for me and me running interviews that I haven't run before that I did in spring training. So, but I will definitely tweet all that stuff out when we figure it out.
Great to have a stockpile, Jim.
Absolutely. It's nice to have a backup.
All right, Jim, well, thanks again for taking the time when you're on vacation. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and suhanunfiltered.com. Check out his podcast. Jim, have a great day and enjoy it.
Thanks, man. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, take care. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and be joined by Saints Executive VP Tom Whaley. We'll talk a little about the Saints, but this is a guy that is well-versed in baseball, music, if you'd like, but he also follows the Final Four. I think we're going to have Tom as a regular guest because he's good, and he's funny, too. He's got a good combination of good and funny. Now, you.
The whole package, unlike me.
See, unlike you. I mean, you're okay and... funny, it depends on your sense of humor. Anyway, we're going to come right back with Tom Whaley.
Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Let me ask you a question.
Almost made it.
We're going to be joined... We have a new guest here, and this is what you come up with? That's all right, I guess. But let's bring him into the conversation. Saints Executive VP, Tom Whaley. Tom, how are you?
I'm great, and I love that tune. I'm a drummer, man. I love that lick.
He
Golden
did something,
baby.
Hellboy did something good for a change. You know, I've been giving you a big build-up, Tom, so don't let me down. So I said he could talk about plenty more than the Saints. Now, I was just looking at this, and let me, because I know you follow all sports. I'm sure you're on top of the Final Four too.
Mm-hmm.
During the break, I was taking a look at the story about the first team all college, all NCAA team, the All American team.
Okay.
All right, Frank Kaminsky from Wisconsin, the only unanimous choice. How could someone, Jahlil Okafor got all but one first team vote. How do you not give this kid, somebody has an axe to grind with Duke if you don't put this kid on the all, on the, you know, give him your vote. It's ridiculous.
I can't understand that. Sports writers don't let their personal feelings ever enter into it.
Oh, no, that never happens.
It's stunning to me.
Even, you know, okay, you say that, and I thought Chris Carter was the biggest ass I ever covered. Yet, I did not have the vote, but I absolutely would vote for him for the Hall of Fame. I have a vote for baseball, and I have voted for guys who I thought were asses because I thought they had the numbers that deserved it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, it's so petty.
It is, and you have to, to do the institution justice, and in this case, or in all of it, to do that system justice, how the heck do you let your, you know, your personal bias or your feelings get into it? You just, that's where it should be. It shouldn't be about the individual in question. It's got to be about the thing you're on, the board you're on, or whatever they have that you sit on to vote for one of those things.
And Tom, you know what? It's going to get out who it is. He received, okay, 64 out of 65 first team votes. 70.7 points, 9 rebounds a game, shot almost 67%, second in the nation. Yet, some dope decided he wasn't going to put him on. Well, anyway.
That's right.
Let me just give you and everyone the other members of that team. Notre Dame senior Jerry and Grant, Kentucky junior Willie Cauley-Stein, and Ohio State freshman D'Angelo Russell. That rounded out the others. Now, and we talked briefly last week. Anything new with the stadium or the Saints? Have you done any signings? Did you find out if the pig's been born yet?
No, the pig has not been born yet. I did find that out. So, but any day now. She's due to go, so that's good. And you know, I haven't seen a whole lot on our side. I don't think we had any activity. We might have had one guy, but I know we're bringing back a pitcher that actually has been picked up twice, so he's obviously doing something right. Robert Coe, and he wasn't picked up last year, but I think the year before, 13 and 12, he was. I want to say Diamondbacks picked him up, so he throws a little. He's a converted catcher. Played I think at Whitewater over in Wisconsin, so. Good to have him back.
And again, talking to Tom Willey, Saints Executive VP. And I know we talked briefly last week. Is May 7th the date of your open tryout?
Yes. Yep.
Now,
May 7th.
How many people do you normally get for that?
You know, I mean, it's so funny. I mean, weather's dependent and all that kind of stuff. But I would say we'll have, I don't know, probably 30 guys or so sometimes, maybe a few more.
And no screening. You want to come, you just show up, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just bring your own glove and bat.
Bring your own glove and bat. You know, you could wear jeans if you want, but
not advised.
Go over well, yeah.
So, well, how many guys have you signed off? Are there years that go by and no one signed? I'm guessing there are.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That happened. I mean, that's probably the rule. But I'd say every couple or 3 years, there's a kid that, you know, either, you know, somebody that's had an injury, that'll, you know, travel in maybe from out of town. I'd say, you know, we're out of, if you have 30 guys, you probably got half a dozen or so that come in from out of town. The rest are local guys, D3 guys, D2 guys that you know, were passed over in a draft and feel like they have something to show.
And when you, obviously you don't have a minor league team, so if you sign them, they're going to be with your team or get cut in. I mean, they certainly can get cut in your spring training, but they have an opportunity to make the team. It's not like they're going to be sent down somewhere.
No. Yeah, they have an opportunity to make the club. And then the other thing is, too, what you'll see a lot, I mean, our all-time wins leader in our history is a guy named Charlie Rudd from St. Olaf, and Charlie was signed out of a tryout camp, and he wasn't signed right away. It was just one of those guys. George liked what he saw. He threw strikes. He got his curveball over, and so we just sort of kept him. We had an injury come up during the season, and George will, you know, keep a file on guys and called him up, and you know, the rest was kind of history. Charlie, I don't know how many. I mean, he's the historic leader in wins for the Saints. So.
Now, let me ask you this also. I'm talking to Tom Whaley, Saints Executive VP. You've worked for the Tampa Bay, the Rays, when they were the Devil Rays, right?
Correct.
You live in Minnesota. You grew up, was it Kansas where you grew up?
St. Louis.
Excuse me, St. Louis.
Right.
So
yep.
What major league team are you a fan of? Is it the Cardinals? Do you still follow the Rays, or is it the Twins because you've been here so long?
I mean, the Cardinals make it easy because I can root for the Cardinals, and they, you know, they play this year, but they rarely play. So yeah, I can't shake that. They're my major league team in the end. But yeah, I'm a Twins fan. I've lived here for 25 years, but you know, so I love their organization. I love the way they do things. And I, you know, Rays, I was there for 2 years, and I watch them. I think they're a real fun team and a fun organization to watch, because it's always, you know, and the Twins a little bit the same way, although they have a few more resources now. But it's fun to watch those teams that have to scrap for it, and the creativity that comes out of that.
Now, Tom, baseball season opens in force next Monday, a week from today. When you run a minor league team, is it just another day? When Major League Baseball starts and you're a minor league team, do you watch games? Is it any different than any other day for you guys? Because it's not team starting.
It's like everybody. If you're a baseball fan, our office, I don't like our odds for being productive on opening day next week. Nothing will get done because every TV or radio or something will have the games on, and nobody pays much attention. We're a bunch of baseball fans, so it's going to be, the games will be all on, and we're not going to get a whole lot done.
Well, Tom, quite frankly, that's the fault of the guy in charge of the office, and that would be you.
And I'll be right there.
You'll be with him watching it.
Pass me a beer.
Now you mentioned when we talked last week, you're in the new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you have an office that, how much bigger is your office now than it was at Midway?
But it's not much bigger. It's just a nicer spot, you know. That's the thing. It's not a real big office, but I got a little view of the field, which is nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
So that's good. That always helps. But it's the same. We're minor league guys through and through. We don't need a ton. And it was funny when they finished the building. We're like going through and they put a conference table in, and everybody, we're like little kids on Christmas morning. We're like, oh my God, a conference table. And the guys that are building are like, yeah, right, man. Okay.
Well, at Midway, you probably had a collapsible or folding table.
Our executive conference center was the ump's locker room. So we had a shower in there and a hair dryer.
In case the meeting went long.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, now you told us when Hellboy here played the music, I knew that you play drums, but is there, so for next week, is there a song that is the best drumming or drummer, I don't know, drummer drumming song, however you would put it? What to you, do you just go nuts when you hear it?
That's a really good one, because it's not like big on fills or whatever, the Golden Earring tune, but it's just got that shuffle beat. That's just bad as hell. And I don't know, if you do you have some Who? Won't Get Fooled Again? That's got some.
Never got that. Remember that, though, yeah. Young David Helmer, Hellboy. That's what he wants. And I may have told you this last week when we talked. I stopped by. I was in a church last week, and there was a guy playing. This is like for 15 solid minutes. Boom, boom, tsh. Boom, boom, tsh. My God, it was horrible. I still hear it in my head. That's all he had. So, hey, Tom, thanks so much for joining us. Tom Whaley, Executive VP of the Saints. Time just flies when you have a good guest.
All righty. Well, thanks. I'll look forward to it, man.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we're going to turn things over to Radioactive Sports. I think Pete Wagner filling in for the superstar.
Yep.
And Ben Holston will be here. I'm sure Ben will be crowing about how great he's doing in his bracket. Basketball, wait a minute. Well, maybe not. Anyway, turn it over to them. Stick with us. Stick with them till 7. We'll be back tomorrow. We got some great interviews for you, including with former Governor Jesse Ventura. As long as he doesn't, change his mind, we'll have him tomorrow for you. We'll see you then.